This morning, before we began Mass, if you're under 25 years of age, would you please stand up? You're under, si tiene menos de 25 años. If you're under 25, stand up. I'm going to church to that. Another more young people. There you go. Very good, man. Very good. You may be seated, young people. Every Sunday, first Sunday of the month, will be for youth. Okay? We would like to have a young person read the scripture. We would like to have some of you sing. I've heard you sing before. Okay? So you have, you know, you don't want to sing the next Sunday that comes around. Prepare for the following. But there are enough of you, very intelligent, that can take a part, because this is for you. Also for the adults. Your part is mostly to pray for young people. Because as they grow and they leave the home, some of them think they can also leave the church, leave God behind, and that's when you need the Lord the most. So our part is to pray for our young people. Okay? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3. You forgive me if I have to sit once in a while? And I need your prayers. The pastor who had been feeling sick this week, and I just told him, I said, in 2 weeks, I had an injection on my left eyeball, on the back of the eyeball. I had injections for my trigger fingers in my hand. And then Friday, I had an injection, you know, that's supposed to slow down the possible cancer that may return. And so this morning, I was feeling a little wobbly, but I know that the Lord is here and has a purpose for our presence this morning. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Anybody remember the last part?
And He will direct your path.
And He will direct your paths. God will do something for you, will bless you in a way that you cannot imagine. Because He loves you. Trust Him. And in this day and time, it's very hard to trust people. Last weekend, my brother came to visit. And we said, okay. He said, I have a dentist appointment at 8 o'clock in Goliad. He lives in Quero. He said, we're going to stop, and it shouldn't take more than an hour. And then we're on our way, and we should be there around 11, because they were going to stop at another place. And I said, visit the other people, come to our house, and we'll go have lunch. Well, hermanos, 11 came around, not here. 12 came around, not here. So I text him, I'm really hungry. Needless at Acapulco. We weren't going to wait. Okay. So he finally came. And he said, well, it delayed. It took a whole lot longer. Said, I had someone come to our house and they sold us the insurance, health insurance. We changed insurance. And this one has dental, okay, insurance. So he goes to the dentist and they tell him when they check his paperwork and everything that it did not pay for dental. Okay? And he got a little upset with you, that someone had gone to your house, had shown you all the pictures and the paperwork, and told you that now you have dental. You go to the dentist, and it doesn't work. They say your root canal and other stuff is going to be a little pricey. Have you ever heard that word? It's going to cost. And the doctor said, do you want me to call them and place a grievance? And so they started about that, because someone, an agent of that company, had told them and assured them that they had dental insurance, and they did. And you probably heard another case this past week of the graduates that finished college, and they had a student loan, and one lady had a bill still left of over $5,000, and they came with a letter, a beautiful letter, and they showed it on TV with every little emblem you needed to say, and they said, we see that you still owe, and they even typed the correct amount, but if you send us $2,000, your account will be clean, and you will owe no more money. Those people took in $23 million, and the lady who owed $5,000 borrowed the $2,000, okay, sent it in. Now she still owes the $5,000 and the $2,000 that she borrowed, because it was a what? It was a scam. Who can you trust today? Well, I want to tell you this morning, Manus, how wonderful God is, and that we trust Him. And He asks and tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yes? Don't lean on your own understanding. Involve Him in all areas of your life, and God will bless you. I want you to listen real quickly. Why I trust my God. Why I trust Him with my life. Because of who He is and what He is doing in my life and in your life. My God, He is my Creator. He is my Sustainer. He is my Redeemer. He is omniscient. He knows everything about everything. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. Amen. He is around the world, on the other side. Our Christian brothers who are praying, He is there listening to their prayer. He is almighty, all-powerful. He is loving. He is merciful. He is patient. He is a great provider. He is unchangeable. He is truthful. He is faithful. He is loyal. He is my friend. He is patient and kind and gentle. He is my shepherd. He is my life, my salvation. He is my strength. He is my Lord. Hermanos, God cannot lie. Whatever He says, whatever you read, okay, that He will do, He does. Honestly. He says, if you come to me, you must believe that He is. Who is? We went a couple of years, I think it was 7 years ago. All my brothers and sisters, once in a while, we would get together to have a luncheon and reminisce and enjoy the fellowship. And we usually invite our Aunt Julie, my mother's only surviving sister. Her husband didn't go. She said, he's got the flu. He's at the house. So when we finish eating, we'll go by the house and we'll say hello. So we went to the door and said, don't go in because he's got the flu. Don't go in. So we waved. Hello, tio Lalo. Okay? And we waved to him. He'd been sick for a week. Finally, my aunt said, hey, we got to take him to the doctor. They took him to the doctor and said, you have cancer. You're about to die. He lasted another week, and he died. They asked me to speak at that service. And some of the words are what Paul says in 1 Timothy. It's not a creed. It's not something else. He says, I know in whom I have believed. You can know His love. You can experience His love. You can experience His care. I told the doctor that treated me this last time with this instrument that I have now on my shoulder. I told him about how I was on the floor and how my heart had stopped. And he said, did y'all have a machine there that could tell that the heart had stopped? I said, there were two doctors there, the pastor's son-in-law and a visiting doctor from Mexico, and they said, he is gone. Yes. Oh, hermanos, I can tell you that I know my shepherd. I feel, okay, his heart beating next to mine, because he is the one who brought my heart back. And the doctor said, he's back. He's back. And I know that those of you who were praying, possibly said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. How God is tremendous. He is our God. You can trust him. Now, I want you to look real quickly. I'm not going to open the Bible because of my time is going to go. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. God tells him he likes his sacrifices. He accepts their praise and everything. But the thing that he wants them is to know him. I want you to know me. And I want you to love them. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Find it, write it down, and read it. Say, I love your sacrifices. I love your praises. But I want you to know me. How can you know him? What you're doing right now, someone telling you from Scripture who your God is. Who is my God? He is my creator. He is my sustainer. He is my savior, my redeemer. You can know him through the Scripture, the Gospel of John. When John finishes his gospel, he says, I have written these things, what? So you may know that Jesus is Lord. The second part of this, where we read in this verse, I wish every young person would memorize this. And every adult, trust in the Lord. With what? All your heart. What does that mean? When my heart stopped, when your heart stops, what happens next? You're gone. You die. So when we read the scripture and it says, trust him with all your heart, what is he saying? Be willing to die. Luke 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. Says this, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, okay, take up his cross, and what? And follow me. The phrase, take up your cross, in the first century, it meant this, that you were going to take a cross, you were going to do something. And that you were going to take up the cross meant that you were willing to what? To die for your cause. Okay? You're willing to die for your cause. So when Jesus is saying, if any man would come after me, he must deny himself, okay? Take up his cross, be willing to die, and follow me. I hear a lot of people say, it's my cross is my mother-in-law. It is not a mother-in-law. You're going to trust in the Lord. And if you're a real believer, okay, the world will be against you. Because you're trying to please God. So with all your heart means, are you willing to die? In the first century, okay, when Peter preached his first sermon, he told the people in the book of Acts, chapter 2, he says, repent. And then what? and be baptized. Why so quickly? Because there were a lot of hostile people there. There were the priests there, and they were doing what to Christians? They were persecuting Christians in earnest. And if they were baptized, they were telling everybody around that they are following who? Jesus. He said, I want you to identify yourself. And it was a dangerous thing in us. And yet, this is what he wanted. People that are what? That are committed to him. Read on your own the last couple of verses on the Gospel of John chapter 2. Where he says, a lot of people on the day of Pentecost, a lot of people came to believe. He uses the word to believe. He came to believe in Christ. I want to read that one because I see in your eyes, you say maybe and maybe not. The Gospel of John, and it's chapter 2, and I want you to read or listen to the following verses. Verse 23, 24, 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. Okay? When they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Why? Because he knew all men. He knew the heart. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Okay? In other words, he knew they had a wishy-washy belief. That when things got hard, they were not going to follow anymore. If we read John chapter 6, verse 66, when Jesus explained to them everything that was going to happen, the Bible says they no longer walked with him. They turned their backs on the Lord and said, this is too hard. This is too difficult. So when the other disciples saw the crowd going away, Jesus asked them this, would you like to also leave? You remember the words of Peter? Who shall we go, Lord? Only you have the words of life. Okay? So, I want you to listen to the following. With all your heart means, are you willing to die for the Lord? Then, hermanos, it says, lean not unto your own understanding. Lean not. In other words, don't try to do what? To figure it out. I love my older brother. We grew up and we were very competitive. He's 18 months older than I am. So he's going to be 78 in May. We grew up and we did a lot of things together. We loved to fish. And one day we went fishing, and we walked around, find a place, we found a little cove. There was a bridge, the water went under there, part of the lake. And we said, you know, there just might be some bass there. So we both cast to the edge of the bridge, hermanos, and we got our little lure up, and it's kind of like that, and all of a sudden the water explodes for both of us. And it was some nice bass. And we get it in, because you want to do what? You want to cast again. So I was in a hurry, and I cast, and I got what is called a bird's nest. All the line got all tangled up. And the more hurried than I was, because he is catching a bass every cast. And I want to get mine there. I just got a big old ball. And so I said, well, maybe I'll start cutting some of the line and see if I could get there. And when I finally have there, what do I have? Very little line. And this is what we do many times. When something comes our way, we forget who God is. We forget that he's the creator. With his word, sustains everything, sustains your life and mine with his word. And we try to figure things out ourselves. I want to read a poem Some of you may have heard this poem. I know many of you have. It's a poem written by Joseph. Joseph Scriven. His wife, his mother, became very ill. And she was thousands of miles away. And he didn't want to leave what he was doing. So he wrote her a poem. He wasn't going to travel back to England to be with her. He wrote her a poem. And this is what the poem reads. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You remember that? There are two more verses on this poem. The mother, the song, the poem touched her so much that she searched for a person that would put music to this poem. And now it's sung as a special song in our churches. Oh, que amigo nos es Cristo. Oh, what a friend I have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Tears, sorrow, pain, sometimes depression. Sometimes we get sick because we're carrying that burden when we have someone who invites us, come unto me, all ye who are weary and what? And heavy laden.
Amen.
And I will give you rest. See, he is my friend. That's what he says in John. Okay? He says, if we obey him, we are his friends. And so many people go about worrying and getting themselves sick when they have someone who invites them, who says, call on me on the day of thy trouble. Okay? And I will deliver thee, and thou wilt glorify me. Lean not unto your own understanding. You have someone that can help your lives. And that someone is our Savior, Jesus Christ. The next part was, acknowledge him in all your ways. This is something that we, many of us, don't do. I want to tell you, Brother Polo was in our house, in our home. I forgot the date. Now I forget so many. Came by, so I could sign some checks. And he looked around and he said, hermanos, they all have a beautiful home. It's not a very big home. Okay? I prayed. I prayed after I had an experience that went wrong. Okay? I started looking for a house. And this gentleman, two blocks away from King, and my youngest daughter was going to be a freshman. And I said, wow, that is really nice. Two blocks from King, she can walk to King High School. So we went and looked at the house. And this is what the salesman said. Mr. Garcia, you better buy this house. I got people who are ready to buy. They are ready to buy this house. And my brain said, ah, psychology. He is trying to, you know, tell me that there's somebody ready, you know. I better buy it because somebody's ready to buy. When that thought went through my mind, I said, sir, I'm not going to buy the house. You have someone, you sell it to them. And we walked out and he walked behind us. Mr. Come back. He didn't have somebody that would bow. And I said, this is not the person that is going to help us. Yes. So we prayed. And someone gave us this little old lady, member of the Methodist Church downtown. Every time that she would have five houses, my youngest daughter and I would drive around and look at the house. And one day she called and she said, Mr. Encino, I have found the house. I have found it. You're going to love it. So my little girl and I went and, oh, and I told her, I said, don't look too happy. Okay. Walk around and say, you know, like that. So we did. We went to look at it. As soon as I saw it, I said, this is the house. This is the house. The Lord has given us this house. So she says, Mr. Encino, you know how it works? You give a number. She has a number. And you work down and you find the number. The price. So she said, give you a number. It was a number. And I remember saying, 65,000. And she said, oh no. No, Ms. Gazina, there's no way. She's not going to let it go for 65,000. The next day, she calls at the school. I answer. And she says, Mr. Encino, you have the house. She agreed. I cannot believe it. She agreed to the price of the house. You can have it. And if you want to, I can resell it for you and you'll make a profit. I haven't even deposited a dollar in it. Who works through these things? Tell me. God works through incredible reasons on your behalf. He is our Jehovah Jireh, our great provider. He has proven that to me so many times. That when I had my first heart surgery, I always would ask. A teacher and a preacher don't make very much money. I would ask, hey, how much is it going to cost? You ever ask that? ¿En cuánto va a costar? You know, how much is it going to cost? When I found out that my first heart surgery, the doctors had forgiven me the bill, and when I walked out of the hospital, I had zero balance. Only God can do those things. In all your ways, hermanos, acknowledge Him. And then, hermanos, when I got to Vietnam, you talk about someone who was scared. I had gone through 1 year of training, and I get at the airport, Cameron Bay, just like the movies, hermanos, humongous airport. Airplanes coming and going, military planes, soldiers marching in to sit down and go to where they were going to be assigned. There were 500,000 in Venice, 500,000 soldiers when I went there in 1969. You think I'm scared? I have no idea what's going to happen. And yet, pretty soon somebody says, all the officers please, to this side. Then they begin to look at our paperwork and say, okay, you're going to go here, you're going to go there, you're going to go in this Jeep, you're going to go in this bus, and sit like this. And they took me in a Jeep to where I was supposed to go. And I'm saying, Lord, what did I get myself into? I go and present the papers, your orders. You give your papers with the left hand, you salute with the right, and you say, Lieutenant Encino reporting for duty, sir. The major takes my papers. He looks at me, looks at the name, and this is what he says. I know you. He said, I know you. I don't know you. I don't remember you. That's what I said. He comes around the desk and he comes and he says, tell me, where did you do your training? I said, Fort Polk, Louisiana? No, I was in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Then he stops and says, I was the company commander. Okay, he was a captain. And then he put his hands on my shoulders. Listen to this. This is a major. I'm just a brand new second Louis, that's what he calls, okay? And he says, I was your captain. You are the only soldier that went through my command and became an officer. And look at you, what a fine officer you are. Do you think I felt a whole lot better? Oh, hermanos, somebody knows me. And somebody, God has put him in my path. And this is what he says. I'm going to keep you back from the fighting for 2 weeks. And I'm going to train you in a special village on how to look for weapons and booby traps. I had not passed one of those courses in those. I would walk around with my bayonet trying to figure out how to disarm that booby trap, and it'd go poof, and they'd bang me on the helmet with a stick, and they say, bang, you're dead. And try again, and I try again, and then I say, nada, you know? And now I've got 2 weeks with special people that will help me. Who did that? Oh, I can only say, you know, people say, you're lucky. It was a coincidence. I don't have that in my life. I'm trusting in the Lord in us. And what will he do? He shall direct what? Your path. He does in us. And so many of us walk around with needless tears, with pain and sorrow in our hearts, getting ourselves sick because we do not call on the Lord. We do not trust that he will do things. When I had, hermanos, my second heart surgery in 2008, my second quadruple, my bill was $185,000 back then. $185,000. It was in October 3rd. I was 65, going to be 65, October, November, December. And I told the doctor, can I wait until I'm 100% Medicare and my insurance, I'll have 100%. He said, Pete, you'll die. You won't get to 65. We need to do that surgery. My wife was there. We need to do that surgery right away. Lord, you're in charge of this. You've always been in charge. So I looked at the bill and I said, I'm going to have a great big bill. And they printed up everything and it had /0/balance. And I looked at it. I'm learning now. Is this correct? Is this correct? And she looked at it and said, yes, sir. As you can see now, it is 0 balance. Some people said, the insurance will not pay for the rehab. I go to the admitting, and they said, oh, yes, Mr. Cancino. They will pay for your rehab. And people say, you are so lucky. Has nothing to do with luck, hermanos. It has to do with a God who is our shepherd. And what? We shall not want. He has taken me to the green pastures. He has taken me to the still waters. When there is sorrow in my heart, when there is a little, you know, that I'm got a little confusion, what? He comforts my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me through the paths of righteousness Why? For his name's sake. Because I am his child. He is my God. He is my heavenly Father. When I go through the valley of shadow of death, hermanos, I have been through that valley, not only here, but also in combat. I saw people die, and I asked myself, why? Why do I survive, and why do they die? God, you have a purpose for my life. And Psalms 138, verse 8 says that God will fulfill his purpose in my life. One day, my purpose will be done, and God will say, you can come home now.
Amen.
Why? Because I have placed my trust, my confidence, my faith, my life in the hands of God. We're here this morning to celebrate the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that for us to know salvation and have salvation, we have to confess that Jesus is Lord. And we have to believe that he lives. He lives in us. And we're here to remember the cost for your freedom, for your salvation. Jesus died on the cross. And I have placed my trust. If you have not, do that. In your heart, say, God, thank you. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, your goodness. Thank you for your patience. I have not lived a life that pleases you, and yet you have not treated me according to my transgressions, because you are a merciful God. Forgive me, Lord. And this morning, save me. Save me, Jesus. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.